Welcome to Simple Life Radio, a look into the simplicity of life and living. Our show is sponsored in part by a local and independent bookstore and garden shop, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, now 45 years in the same location in downtown Carmel by the Sea, on Dolores between 5th and 6th. If you'd like more information, the website is pilgrimsway.com. It's only fitting that on this 4th of July weekend, we add a special reminder to support independence on many levels, and including how we vote with our dollars. At Pilgrim's Way, there are a number of local artists, photographers, and craftspeople in the county and in the state with items for sale there. So if you're in the area, you definitely want to stop by to see for yourself. They've been a green certified business since 2009. Now, I normally host a guest, but our show today will be a little bit different. We have three segments in today's show. We'll be talking about health, home, and garden. And I want to share with you something that a very famous person in history said. His name was Mahatma Gandhi. He said, "It is health that is real wealth and not pieces of gold and silver." And so I wanted to start off, kind of kick off our time together today with a segment. It's about 2.5 minutes long. It is from a website called takepart.com, and it's reporting on health issues, actually, of health that have organizations like the CDC pretty concerned. So let's hear what they have to say. Stay right there. A little bit of background about this piece I'm going to play. It has to do with our meat, and it has to do with health risks.
According to the Food and Drug Administration, 80% of the antibiotics used in the United States goes to livestock. Your reaction to that statistic might be shock, but it should be terror. A recent TakePart.com story lays out how the meat industry's overuse of antibiotics will play a key role in 23,000 American deaths this year alone. But they won't die as a direct result of eating meat. They'll die due to their infections being antibiotic resistant. So on that very cheery note, it's time for a new segment we call WTF is in my food. There we go. Joining us now is this charming man, TakePart.com's food editor, Willie Blackmore.
Woo! From you guys.
Okay, this is what I want to know. Is I'm not normally, we do this thing on the show called Nanny State because I'm against government. No, because I'm against government intervention, but I think in this scenario when 23,000 people are dying, I didn't know about this until I read it on TakePart.com. What is it going to take for the government to start paying attention?
Well, a lot, apparently. You know, this has kind of been an industry standard for the meat industry since the mid-century, since around the 1950s. The FDA first raised concerns internally in the 60s, and then in 1977 issued a report that said this is going to be a problem, that if we continue, because the thing is there's subtherapeutic dosages. So it's a very small amount of antibiotic that's mixed in with the food, so they're getting it all the time. And when there's a bacteria living side by side with this constant presence of antibiotics that are weak, it's not strong enough to kill off all of them, so the ones that can survive mutate and learn to live with it.
What can we do to solve this problem or to help?
I mean, as a consumer, you can buy stuff that's raised in a manner that, you know, is safe in terms of public health with this issue. You know, this is not like some weird fringe thing. Like the G8 is worried about this, the CDC is worried about this, the World Health Organization is worried about this. This is like a very real thing. And that I think that with consumers being concerned about it, it's something that could end up changing.
All right, thank you so much, Willie, for joining us, even though I'm officially totally freaked out. Everyone, please.
Yeah, we can understand why she's officially totally freaked out. That is a big, tall order to just announce that 80% of the antibiotics used in America are used in the livestock. And the livestock has to do with the meat consumption. It also has to do with milk and how milk is harvested. So what is the problem with that? Like the guy said, it is ingested in very small amounts. However, it's in their food. It's in their intake every single day. And as a result of that, bacteria is becoming mutated. It's adapting to that. The crossover for humans is that when we really need antibiotics, there could be, and oftentimes is, a strain of bacteria in our bodies that are not going to respond to whatever antibiotics are currently on the market because it's had this kind of situation. Now, they don't go into a lot of other risks associated with this intense chronic use of antibiotics, both in our food and our milk. But if you want more information about that, that website was takepart.com. They have a lot of really crisp information. This story comes out July 2nd this year, just a couple of days ago. And I want to thank those folks for their contribution to our show today. I'd like to start also by saying that it's really important to continue education in life. Don't you agree? I mean, even as adults, after we leave school, we need to be aware. We need to be curious and objective, not fall into the fear factor. There are many schools of thought about education. One of the trains of thought is that you find somebody who's had an expert level, and let's say they've learned their skill, whatever it is, 20 or 30 years ago. You pay them big money, have them tell you what they know so you can write it down. Someone who learned the same way, of course. And then you can, in some number of years, go out and try out what they said. Maybe you find out that a lot has changed and you end up learning on the job. And I might be exaggerating to some degree. That is one way that many people agree is the best way. Not because of what's learned, mind you, but because of who you meet in those circles along the way. So in this show, we want to consider all sources equally, all the information available, theoretical and experience-wise, as much as time allows. And if you want to offer your experience or perspective, you can post it on the Simple Life Radio Facebook page or send me an email at simplelife@pilgrimsway.com. Now, my next story is about a man who lost 154 pounds by eating real food. Now, this story comes to us from the Huffington Post just about a few weeks ago, June 19th, 2014. And the story is, gratefully, on the other side of the spectrum, what we can do to take care of our health, take charge of our life. This gentleman's name is Kerry Hoffman. He's a 32-year-old, 6-foot-1-inch guy who found himself overweight in his life. He graduated high school at 250 pounds. He played football, so he did okay. And it turns out that he had a breaking point later on after college. His father passed away from liver disease, and his daughter was born within 2 weeks of that, and he began to think about change being necessary in his life. So he didn't officially start to address his diet or anything different until a few months later. But when he visited the doctor for a physical and was asked to have his blood sugar checked, he got a little bit alarmed. They put him on medication and diagnosed him with diabetes, which actually ran in his family. And he had always promised himself that that would never happen to him, that he would not be defeated by that disease. So he started working out 4-5 days a week. He did strength training and treadmill walking, and he started losing weight very slowly. He committed. He actually did one of the food logs, and he found out by logging in all the food that he was eating that he was taking in about 4,000 calories a day. So he eliminated all the desserts and sweets right away, and he started using measuring cups to get the proper portion at his meal times, and he was extremely diligent. And he also made a commitment to start eating real food, meaning not processed. It doesn't come in a box. It doesn't come with the pop it in the microwave instructions, just real food. When he visited his doctor again, he was shocked at the progress. They reduced his medication dosage. His blood sugar was getting under control. And eventually he heard his doctor say, "You have officially, ready for this, cured yourself of diabetes." So that is an encouraging story. Now, I mentioned that he mainly ate whole foods. He ended up clocking in at losing officially 154 pounds and then decided he was going to stay with his eating habits and his workout habits. He did also participate in endurance sports like long distance running and cycling, as well as triathlons. Now, that is the story of a guy who got his life back. Imagine having been on medication and then deciding for yourself you were going to take charge, eat real food, stuff that comes out of the ground and off of a tree, not being quote-unquote processed. But there are other people like Hoffman out there that have really successful stories about their health changes. For example, there's this this other person, Justin Willoughby, who lost, oh my goodness, 550 pounds in part to giving up high sugar foods and processed meats. Instead of that, he decided to go natural foods, plenty of fruits and vegetables, lots of clean water. There's also Louise Melendez, who lost 120 pounds, no longer needs to be on certain medications because he turned to a raw food diet. Certainly, if it's a raw food diet, it's going to be a natural food diet. And then there's Jennifer Lilly, who's yet another weight loss success story, who says her ability to lose and keep off 70 pounds that she lost was in a large part because of the fact that she includes plenty of, again, fresh fruits and vegetables and superfoods in her diet. Now, one of the places that we like to get great natural food is at our local farmers market. And I know that there are several farmers markets in the Monterey County. There is almost one a day somewhere. And it does change seasonally depending on which day it is. I don't know of one on Saturday, but supporting local not only gives you the best quality, freshest produce and whatever food items that you're buying, it also it reduces the CO2 impact on the environment because the trucks don't have to drive that far. They're not driving across country. And you're keeping your dollars in your community. So I want to just remind everyone that that is something that's really good to do. And I know that in Carmel, the farmers market may be moving, but let's keep tabs on that and find out where it's moving to and just make sure that we support whatever market works for us. Archives from today's show and many others are available on iTunes and podbean.com, listed under Simple Life Radio. When you come back from this break, we're going to be talking about home, things that are related to us here in our own backyard. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez, and you're listening to Simple Life Radio, live streaming on Radio Monterey or tune in on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Simple Life.